Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Human eggs are only the size of a grain of sand, but the space they can take up in your mind can be gargantuan.
Now there are a lot of concerns, with some experts saying this procedure really just serves as another way for companies to make money from stoking women's anxieties.
Egg freezing's been presented as a kind of girl boss panacea, but what's the reality? That's this week on Explain It To Me. New episodes every week, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Switched On Pop. I am producer Rihanna Cruz.
And I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
So Charlie, you and I talk a lot about the new class of pop stars, right?
Sure.
The young ones, you know, appealing to Gen Alpha. Artists captivating the minds of those younger than I, chosen to shepherd us into the next era of pop music.
Keeping us young.
We got Noah Kahan, who we've had on the show before.
Yeah.
Teddy Swims, America's new favorite R&B extraordinaire. And backflipping superstar Benson Boone. Take
these beautiful things that I've got, please. I was kind of a Benson Boone skeptic until I saw those backflips at the Grammys.
As was I. And I'm still a skeptic.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. But while these artists confound me, I also understand that every era needs its white guy singer-songwriter contingency. However, there's another name that also comes up in these same conversations. A Canadian phenomenon, a dancer extraordinaire, the latest of the YouTube generation of pop stars. I'm talking about Tate McRae.
Is that her given name?
Given name, Tatum. So close.
Oh, okay. Like Channing.
Tatum, comma Channing, Tate McRae.
Okay. Taking us right back to the electronic sounds of the mid-2000s. I thought we were hearing something new.
That is new. It's her latest single, Sports Car, off of Tate's third studio album, So Close to What? Out this Friday.
Yeah, what are we getting so close to?
Well, if you're like me, namely over the age of 23 years old, it feels like this woman came completely out of nowhere, netting billions of streams almost instantly. She currently has two songs on Spotify, over 1.5 billion streams right now. And these are the tracks Greedy, and the track You Broke Me First. Now suddenly your eyes can fold it back. Could you tell me where'd you get the nerve? Yeah, you could say you miss all that we had, but I don't really care how bad it hurts when you broke me first. So when listening to Tate McRae, I want to say up top that while I find it catchy, I do find it hard to glean anything from it. It feels a little shallow. And I'm not saying that for the sake of not trying, right? Like, I've watched Tate McRae live performances with friends on multiple nights. I've listened to her two albums that are already out. I've polled fans of hers that I know, because I know a lot. And whenever I ask them, what do you like about Tate McRae? It kind of just comes down to she's a great dancer, and that's not related to music.
I don't know. You call her shallow. You're a big fan of Lady Gaga.
got a great song called Shallow. What's wrong with being shallow?
Perhaps nothing. I mean, people love her. Despite all this, she is emerging as one of the biggest pop stars of this generation.
Yeah, the music is lighthearted. It's party music. It's sexy music. It's fun. It's not particularly deep.
Well, I'm sure there's people like me out there who are unfamiliar with Miss McCrae. So in anticipation of So Close to What, which is all but certain to make a chart impact when it releases, I would like to listen to Tate McRae today and ask the question, who the heck is Tate McRae? And in that, I want to crack a personal nut. What is it about her music that connects with people?
Okay, cool. So you're learning to love Tate McRae a little bit here.
I guess we could call this a learning to love episode. Learning to love Tate McRae.
All right, where do we begin?
Well, obviously, we have to go back to the beginning, right? And see how Tate McRae got to where she is now.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, and perhaps most importantly, she is Canadian.
Mm.
Maple syrup.
25% more expensive this week.
And Tate McRae.
Tate McRae's got tariffs. I'm telling you, this music might get expensive.
There's tariffs on Tate.
Might be shallow, but it ain't cheap.
Hashtag tariff Tate. But she is from Calgary in Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom was a dance instructor. And assumedly, as a result, Tate grew up dancing and is an extremely acclaimed dancer. When people say she's a great dancer, like, they're telling the truth. Her big break came on the show So You Think You Can Dance, where she came in third.
Hmm.
And there's a quote that says Canadian voters could not vote on So You Think You Can Dance, and she still came in third.
Huh.
So imagine what it would be like if Canada was in on the voting. She probably would have won.
I've always thought that the name of that TV show is kind of cruel. So You Think You Can Dance is kind of how I hear it.
Right.
Which means, like, I would be a great contestant on So You Think You Can Dance. Because they'd be like, you're right, you can't, you win, you're the worst.
It's very combative, kind of. It's like, you think you can,
yeah.
You know, and then you got to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
The odds are already stacked against you when you start.
Okay, so that puts her on the map.
She came in third.
You know what? If you're in the finalists, you're good enough.
Exactly. You know, I can't get there, so who am I to say anything, right? So that was in 2016. 1 year later, 2017, she has some eyes on her. And much like those in her class of pop star, Billie Eilish, Chloe and Halle, Gracie Abrams. She starts posting YouTube videos of her performing her own songs in her bedroom. And her first song is the track One Day, which is a pretty simple singer-songwriter piano track.
I've understood that you will never be mine, and that's fine. I'm just breaking inside. One day, maybe she'll stay and start to head over.
All right, not bad. 2010's kind of cursive singing, good vocal range, the melodies work, I like the rhymes, not bad.
Most of her YouTube era tracks are in this similar vein, but from there, she's been on a steady, consistent path of traditional growth in the music industry. She was signed to RCA Records in 2019, released her debut EP, and sold out a headlining tour off of that debut EP.
Whoa.
It's kind of showing how stupid I am for never hearing of her until the past 2 years because she has a huge fan base. She is currently the 76th most listened to artist in the world on Spotify.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And her 2021 EP titled Too Young to Be Sad was the most streamed female EP of that year on Spotify.
Whoa.
That record, Too Young to Be Sad, had Tate McRae's first major song, the track You Broke Me First.
Asking for it back. Could you tell me where'd you get the nerve? Yeah, you could say you miss all that we had, but I don't really care how bad it hurt when you broke me first. You broke me first.
That's one of those songs where I feel like I heard the song, but I didn't know the artist yet.
I mean, I've never heard it prior to last week when I was researching Tate McRae, which is ridiculous. And I'm realizing again how stupid I seem because it hit 17 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Whoa. Yeah, exactly. It's like one of those things where it probably came in autoplay after I was listening to like a Selena Gomez song or something.
Right.
Like, okay, interesting. I hadn't registered Tate McRae then.
Me neither, but it has 1.6 billion streams, as I said earlier. And that is no small feat, you know, especially for an artist who at that time had very minimal output.
Okay, so where should go from here?
So You Broke Me First came out before Tate's first album titled I Used to Think I Could Fly, but her true breakout record was the album Think Later, which spawned her biggest chart hit, Greedy.
There used to be a thing in pop music where everyone was using the same few synthesizer patches where you could be like, oh, I can definitively tell you that that's like the DX7 electric piano sound. It's harder today because there's so many software instruments and so many patches that people can use. But sometimes people who make music can hear a song and be like, I know exactly how they made that song. There's a patch in this instrument called Omnisphere.
Ooh.
That is a sampled hang drum. Like the hippie drum that the hippies play at the Burning Man and music festivals and so on. And they sample it by playing it with a sugar packet.
Mm.
And it has this very particular sound of a sugar packet hitting a hang drum. It's a beautiful patch. And I've played with it before. And I'm like, that is that sound. Someone turned that sound into a hit. Good job. There's nothing wrong with using a preset on a synthesizer, but it's a weird experience of people who make music. Sometimes you're like, oh, that sounds like I'm playing an Ableton making my music. But again, she made the hit. Or more specifically, she didn't just do it. We've got writers Amy Allen, Jasper Harris, Ryan Tedder, and produced by Ryan Tedder, Jasper Harris, and Grant Boutin.
Kind of an all-star Avengers pop writing camp.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I know about Tate McRae. She's definitely one of those artists where there's a lot of bigwigs behind making these hits. They're trying to make pop smashes.
And Greedy is a pop smash. It peaked at 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 and was on the chart for nearly a whole year.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Greedy was the first time I heard Tate McRae. And I liked the song. Caught my attention. I was like, who's this girl? Need to know more about this girly. But at the same time, she has all these people behind her. And I know Tate is a real person, okay? So follow me when I say this. But
yeah.
I think in the least combative way possible, I feel like Tate McRae is an AI-generated pop star.
I feel like, you know, 2 years ago, we would have said, like, industry plant.
Which, like, you know, if I didn't know she made YouTube videos, I would say the same thing. But she just has a traditional trajectory as far as artists in the industry go. I think her music, to me, feels like you put the last 20 years of pop music through a blender or an AI aggregator or whatever you call those, and it spits out songs like Greedy. But in spite of that, or in part because of that, it's an incredibly catchy song that immediately gets your ear.
Mm-hmm. Pop music often is the blender. It's the place where genres come to meet, get diluted, and turn into something incredibly infectious.
Through the saturation of Greedy, I've come to understand that there's 3 aspects to the Tate McRae song formula.
Mm, what's that?
Tate McRae is a master of what I call simple pop. And one word.
Simple pop.
Trying to coin a term here. And by that, I mean, to make a Tate McRae song, you need 3 things. 1, you need a lack of identity, lack of a distinguishable personality. I'm talking, we ran the vocal timbre of 60 pop girls through an AI generator, and this is what we got.
Okay.
You need a lack of chorus, or more effectively, a misplaced hook. I find a lot of Tate's songs to be chorusless or have a hook that underwhelms or shows up at different places in the song than the chorus, which I find fascinating.
Mm.
And 3, you need a lack of originality.
Ooh.
I don't mean this in a bad way, mind you. This is learning to love Tate McRae. I think there's space for her. But we've talked extensively on the show before about this idea of vibe snatching, right?
Mm-hmm.
She has a penchant for interpolations, taking sonic elements from things we already love. There's a lot of sound alikes in Tate McRae's catalog, songs that are near ripoffs of perhaps more notable or interesting music.
Okay, so simple pop is empty personality,
mm-hmm.
dangling hooks,
mm-hmm.
and inconspicuous vibe snatching.
Bingo.
Okay.
So using this rubric that we've concocted, I'd like to look at three songs of Tate McRae's, one from her last album and two singles from this upcoming record. Once again, let me say the title, So Close to What?
What?
And I'd like to unpack what's going on with them and see if we can glean anything from the success of her music.
It's so close to, we couldn't figure out the next thing. So close to TKTK. Journalism for to come.
So let's start with the other single from Think Later, the one not named Greedy, the track X's.
Oh, I'm sorry, sorry that you love me. Change my mind up like a origami. Oh, I'm sorry, sorry that you love me. Change my mind up like a origami. Kisses to my exes who don't give a shit about me. Kisses, kisses to the next one.
Okay, so right away, I don't like this song. I love it.
You got me there, Charlie. I really like this song, too. I want to go on the record and say that this song is one of the biggest earworms I heard last year.
Absolutely.
Right off the bat.
Absolutely. But it has a lot of the formula that you're talking about. Like, right off the bat, the vocal is almost flat. I don't mean pitch-wise. Mm-hmm. It's just like a little monotone.
Yes.
It's not got a lot of emotion in it. Two, the dangling hook. Now, this song is fascinating because I don't know any other song that is structured this way.
Mm-hmm.
It opens with the post-chorus.
Oh, I'm sorry, sorry that you love me. Change my mind up like a origami. Oh, I'm sorry, sorry that you love me.
Right. Yes.
And then goes to a chorus, and then goes to a verse, pre-chorus, chorus, post-chorus. I've never heard a song structured that way. Maybe there's one or two others. And I think I know why, which is that clearly Tate McRae is being heavily influenced by her producer and co-writer, Ryan Tedder.
Mm.
And Ryan Tedder has gone on the record. He's taught classes. I actually teach his method of writing in my classes. And in an online workshop he did for studio.com, he described his way of writing melodies as basically like, generate as many hooks as you can. When you think you have your best hook, make it your chorus. Then top it, make a better hook, and make the thing that you made your chorus, make that your verse, so that your verse is as catchy as another song's chorus. Your chorus should be even catchier than that. And the way that he then structures a song is put the hooks all over the place to make sure it's as hooky as possible. So I feel like if you're feeling underwhelmed by the like formal chorus section, it's because Ryan Tedder doesn't write choruses. He writes hooks and they are everywhere. They're dangling throughout the song.
I like that. I mean, I said I love this song as well. But yeah, the chorus to me is very anticlimactic. I feel like there's one, too many syllables. And two, it's kind of nursery rhymey in the sense that it's repetitive enough to get grating after a while.
Okay, interesting little ending. I don't know. Ryan Tedder is a hook machine. He writes these melodies where you're like, it's almost too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have these moments of nursery rhyme like qualities.
Right.
But then he, like, just when he's going to repeat it too many times, he switches it up in a way that gives you enough interest. At the same time, I think that your third quality is evidenced here in the chorus, which is the vibe snatching.
What you hearing, Charlie?
I'm hearing this rhythmic structure that I learned about from the YouTuber Adam Neely that he calls the Scotch Snap.
Ooh, I like that.
It's called the Scotch Snap because I guess it comes from like Scottish fiddle music as well as just the Scottish speech pattern. It's a 16th note followed by a dotted eighth note, and it goes da-da, 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 da-da. He has a whole video about this Scotch snap that in poetry, I guess, is also called a trochee, where you have a quick stressed element followed by an unstressed long element. And he gives the example of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And he has this great playlist of all these songs where it is like the sound of 2010s hip hop. You can hear it in Cardi B's I Like It. It's in Beyonce's Drunken Love. Ariana Grande snatches it for Seven Rings. And Thank You Next. It is the sound of the 2010s. And when Ariana did that, she was even accused of cultural appropriation by using black sound, because even though the Scotch Snap originally came from Scottish music, it became coded with black hip hop. And like all black music, that sound becomes whitewashed, appropriated. And after Ariana Grande, everyone just started doing this speech pattern. Da-da, 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 da-da. It signifies I'm making cool popular music, and it's everywhere in X's. So there it is in the chorus. It's also in the pre-chorus. Right?
Yeah.
Point being, it's all throughout the song, and her speech patterns throughout the song are a sort of sing, rapping, clearly hip-hop oriented. The beat has trap 808s, trap hats. This is trap pop. It's simple pop. It's the sound of 2000s hip-hop beats, Timbaland, Danger, Britney Spears kind of thing, but also mixed with 2010s trap beats and speech patterns that are highly contemporary. So vibe snatching complete.
It is probably the textbook example of simple pop, and not just in its construction, right? In how it was made as well, because allegedly she wrote this song in 30 minutes.
That's common though. There's so many great songs that are written fast.
It was fully finished in 90 minutes. So, you know, really quickly recorded, produced, mixed right off the dome. So it makes sense they're pulling on this large internal library of music culture.
Totally. I mean, this is one of the things that Ryan Tedder does. We've talked about it on the show when he did, what was that song for Top Gun 2?
Oh, the One Republic joint?
Yeah, I Ain't Worried. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tedder of One Republic, who produced X's and most of Tate McRae's music, wrote I Ain't Worried. And the first time I played this song in my household, my wife was like, oh, I love Young Folks by Peter Bjorn and John. So Ryan Tedder is a great mimic, but he also takes these sounds and turns them into yet new hits. That's not an easy thing to do. I don't mean to deny the talent that it takes to write these songs and have that really deep sense of what is popular, what a good melody is. He's able to build these things over and over and over again. So it's a certain style of writing, simple pop.
And X's is a great song, but it's not immune to the mimic formula. I thought it sounded like two specific songs. It's funny that you mention the rappiness of it, because I thought it sounded like a Lisa song. Lisa, who was in Blackpink, went solo, raps. Her song Money has a similar rhythm to it.
Yep. Scotch. Da-da, 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 da. Yeah, that's the Scotch Snap.
That's basically the chorus and the post-chorus of X's.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I'm skeptical that these are actually directly inspired by each other, but rather exist on the same playlist of simple pop together, which is like take trap beats, use rap cadences, pop hooks, blend them together. Like, this is what you get.
Fair. Okay. There's another song that I think X's vibe snatches from. And before I say it, I want to give some context. So looking at Tate's career, she started making music in 2017, which was the height of the cursive singing epidemic in pop music. Nate did a really great episode on it a while back, but it's the way that songs are sung, the voices used, syllables are elongated. The grand poobah of cursive singing at the time was none other than Halsey.
Yeah. Everything is blue.
Ooh. The same year that Tate McRae started releasing music was the year that Halsey's second album, Hopeless Fountain Kingdom, dropped. My personal Halsey album, kind of a deep cut, but the track 100 Letters reminds me of exes, kind of to the T.
Same tempo, same playlist, no doubt.
And I'm hearing a couple similarities. Obviously, the way that they're singing is the same. They both have extremely percussive beats to them. They both have this guitar riff within it. And I'm hearing kind of the same plucky synth throughout the two of them. So I'm not here to evangelize Halsey. You know, I think her music is excellent. But it's another vibe snatch in the sense that she's kind of using the simple pop AI amalgamation formula where she's taking all of these songs, putting them into an algorithm, and then boom, it's spitting out X's.
As I said, I don't like the song intellectually. But when it plays, I want to move, and I love the song emotionally.
It's good. It's grown on me, is what I will say.
Okay.
So we have X's. I think the song works in spite of its flaws. And X's was a song where I was like, as perhaps uninventive as it is, it's not going anywhere. She's not going anywhere. Greedy, I wrote off as a fluke, but X's is how I knew, at the very least, Tate McRae would be interesting to watch. So after the break, I thought we'd take a look at two of the singles from Tate's new record, say it with me, Charlie, So Close to What?
And see if they also fit the simple pop formula?
Exactly.
The Republicans have been saying lots of things. Just yesterday, their leader said he wants to own Gaza.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it.
On Monday, the Secretary of State said an entire federal agency was insubordinate.
USAID in particular, they refused to tell us anything. We won't tell you what the money's going to, where the money's for, who has it.
Over the weekend, Vice President Elon Musk, the richest man on Earth, tweeted about the same agency that, you know, gives money to the poorest people on Earth.
We spent the weekend feeding USAID into the wood chipper. Could gone to some great parties. Did that instead.
But what have the Democrats been saying?
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
Huh. That's a weird way to put it, Senator. We're going to ask, what exactly is the Democrats' strategy to push back on Republicans on Today Explained?
Over the last few weeks, America's health and science agencies have been shaken. There's been funding freezes, communications gag orders, censorship of research.
It's really a chaotic picture.
I am really scared.
The United States was the best place in the world to do science, and that has never felt more threatened in my career than it does right now.
This week on Unexplainable, what does all this mean for the future of science in America? Follow Unexplainable for new episodes every Wednesday.
All right, so here's the deal. Take a former world number one. That's me, Andy Roddick. Add in a journalist who knows everything about tennis and a producer who's still figuring out how to spell tennis. You get served with Andy Roddick, a weekly podcast where we break down the game we all love. We cover the biggest stories, talk to the sport's biggest stars, and highlight the people changing tennis in ways you might not even realize. Whether it's Grand Slam predictions, coaching changes, off-court drama, or the moves shaping the future of the sport, we've got it all. This podcast is about having fun, sharing insights, and giving fans a real look at what makes tennis so great. Catch Serve with Andy Roddick on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, or watch us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. Let's get started.
So 2025, So Close to What, is Tate's third record.
What?
I need to know what the what is. I don't think we're going to figure it out by the end of the episode, no. But
that's the eternal mystery of Tate McRae. It's what is that what?
What is the what? And there's a little bit of what on the new record's lead single, the track, It's Okay, I'm Okay.
It's okay, I'm okay, and I'm in the first place. It's okay, I'm okay. It's okay, I'm okay, I don't really gotta say. It's okay, you can have them anyway. Anyway.
Okay. You could have pitched this beat to a lot of other artists 5 years ago.
Right, and that goes back to the first point on our rubric, the lack of identity. I think, again, we're seeing this track in the Y2K-influenced canon, but It's Okay, I'm Okay is the lead single. It's trying to set a tone for the record. And on this song, we have a couple of attempts from Tate to establish a vocal identity, because the thing that gives me the most pause about her is the vocal. The vocal feels very indescript to me. Here, she's using different techniques to kind of put her stamp on the song in a way that I appreciate. One of those things that she's doing is flipping from her regular voice into her head voice. And then moves into a rapping chorus.
I'm okay, okay. It's okay, I'm okay. I don't really gotta say it's okay. You can have them.
Okay, so a couple different vocal styles, from chest voice to head voice to sort of rapping voice, mixing it up.
And there's little flares that she does that I do appreciate on this song. She sings the words, fuck that, in a way that I find very pleasant to listen to.
Was such a romantic, you got me like, fuck that.
Yeah, she's leaning into it.
Yeah.
That's funny. I like that.
Very Ariana Grande-esque, I think, the way that she rhymes that with that in the same couplet, but sounds good.
Also a similar vocal delivery. A lot of Ariana is not the big high note, belty sort of thing that you might associate her with. It's actually this like very soft, delicate vocal playing a lot with like air, breathiness, and doing that same kind of thing on that moment.
A lot of comparisons I hear about Tate McRae is that also she sounds like Britney Spears, or she's the new Britney Spears, as I hear. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with the full comparison, but I think the way that they sing, they both use the quote-unquote baby voice, you know, that you and Nate have talked about in the Listening to Britney series.
Yeah, but Britney is far more percussive in her singing. Very inspired, clearly, by Janet and Michael. There's a lot more vocal fry. There's a lot of personality in the way that she uses the voice. And I'm still getting to know Tate McRae's voice.
Right.
I'm not sure that this music is about big vocal moments. Like, I think that she is a dancer. This music is doing what it's aiming to do. It's dance music that has a consistent vibe all the way through, more like a hip-hop track rather than EDM, big room, drop in the middle of something. Her chorus kind of comes and goes, as you said, and it's just like every moment is a hook. And so that it's dance music, it's got this long, drawn-out vibe. Her voice kind of blends into the track. This is made for dancing, for a dancer.
I hear you, and I think that's very apt to bring in Tate's dancing background. But my primary issue with this song is the chorus. I think this is probably one of her worst choruses. It feels like nonsense a little bit. It carries so much steam through the verses. And I feel like a song should lean into the chorus, perhaps, and kind of get bigger. But as soon as we get there, we pull back. We minimize. And I feel like it deflates the song.
It's okay, I'm okay, had him in the first place. It's okay, I'm okay. It's okay, I'm okay, I don't really gotta say. It's okay, you can have him.
Rihanna, look what you made me do.
Touche.
Yours is in red underlined. I check it once, then I check it twice. Oh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. What you just made me do, look what you...
I think this like very serious spoken down chorus done to a hip hop beat is almost a cliche at this point, which is more your third point than your second point in your simple pop formula, perhaps.
Well, right. I mean, a generous read of the Tate McRae song could see this decision as an artistic choice. The song is about somebody else wanting Tate's man, and the chorus is her just repeating, it's okay, I'm okay, over and over again in a kind of feigned nonchalance. You know, the song kind of collapses. There should be this explosion of energy, but really it all minimizes and it becomes very internal over these 808s, which kind of simulate the like turmoil that she's probably experiencing
seeing someone else
go for a man.
Yeah. How okay are you when you just say it's okay 17 times?
Right. Clearly very not.
If you say it's okay more than once, it's not okay.
So we have vocal techniques trying to establish identity. We have the minimized chorus. Third point, the lack of originality. The beat of this song is near identical to a Y2K classic right from the beginning of the song. So I'll play the top of It's Okay, I'm Okay and see if it rings any bells for you, Charlie.
It's very Ying Yang Twins or something. But it's so close, but the bells aren't ringing. What are you hearing?
Let me play for you at the beginning of Me and You by Cassie.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I honestly don't remember that song. I also feel like that descending minor plucky thing over electronic hip hop beat was like just commonplace in the 2000s.
Fair enough. I mean, it's a similar situation to X's then, right? Where it feels kind of like the sound jarble of all of these aesthetics that were popular 20 years ago. So if you thought It's Okay, I'm Okay had Y2K vibes, the latest single is even more 2000s focused, and that's the track Sports Car.
Okay. Whispered vocals, very Britney, right?
Yeah.
I also mentioned the Ying Yang Twins. Now is it appropriate to play Wait, the Whisper song? Basically a Tape McRae beat.
Hey, how you doing, little mama? Let me whisper in your ear. Tell you something that you might like, dear. Got a six-ass body and your ass looks soft. Mind if I touch it?
That's literally the chorus of Sports Car.
Exactly. I also, by the way, when I hear the Whisper song, can only think of the Lonely Island's Bing Bong Brothers. When I hear that song, I only hear the joke version of it.
What are you listening to?
Just that new Bing Bong Brothers.
Hey, girl, from over here, your butt looks soft. Maybe if I could touch it, I could tell if it's soft. Tell me if it's soft, because I really like to touch it. And then I'll show you.
Wait, and now let's hear Tate McRae again.
It's that mixed with a very obvious vibe snatch to me, and that's the Pussycat Dolls' classic Buttons.
Same beat. Yep, that's it. I mean, the 2000s had this whole obsession with Middle Eastern and Indian sounds. I mean, it's entirely from the world of Missy Elliott and Timbaland. Like, Get Your Freak On. Or another Missy track featuring Ludacris, Gossip Folks. That's a sound that Britney obviously uses on Toxic, made by the Swedes Bloodshy and Avant. But I'm also kind of hearing the electronic production style and harmonies of Britney's Give Me More. That's not a Timbaland beat. That's a Danger beat. Danger was a mentor of Timbaland. Do you know who was also mentored by Timbaland?
Who?
Ryan Tedder.
No.
Yes, Ryan Tedder worked for Timbaland for a number of years. And so when we're hearing Tate McRae, we're hearing this lineage of those 2000s electronic hip hop sounds through Ryan Tedder from Timbaland. And so I think even though, yes, I really am hearing the Pussycat Dolls, Buttons is not a Timbaland track, but it is a Timbaland vibe because his influence is just all over the place.
That makes a lot of sense because when I hear Tate McRae, I hear Timbaland more than anything else. But there's a direct lineage from Timbaland to Tedder to Tate.
Exactly. The apprentice is now the Jedi.
So going back to our simple pop rubric, Sports Car has that vibe-snatching lack of originality. It has the dangling hook, as you called it. I like to think of it as a misplaced chorus.
Sure.
Again, we have a whisper-sung chorus with very little melody. And the primary hook of the song is not the chorus itself, but I see it as, again, the pre-chorus.
Yeah. This is the Ryan Tedder fly hooks everywhere method. The pre-chorus is the most singable part, no doubt.
Misplaced choruses all over the place.
Simple pop. I feel like we're being kind of cruel here because I'm nodding to these songs. I don't think that they are meant to be thought about. I think these are made to just move. And clearly they're moving people. Maybe they're moving us to madness, but they're also moving people on the dance floor.
No, I think I'm being moved. I mean, at the outset of the episode, I wanted to ask the question, who is Tate McRae? Mm. Why is her music popular? And perhaps more cynically, why should I care? And when I polled my inner circle of Tate McRae superfans, why they like her, I got two similar answers across the board, right? She could dance, and she has sex appeal. And I think I've cracked the code, Charlie.
It's the pop formula. Yeah.
I think I've cracked the code. Tate McRae is not Britney Spears. But in fact, she is this generation's Paula Abdul.
Oh. Yeah. That is a jam.
Capital J, jam.
Straight up.
A lot of people draw comparisons from Tate McRae to Britney Spears, and I get it. You know, the Y2K, sex icon, yeah. Pop star vibe. But really, I think she's more similar to Paula Abdul, a pop star who is a dancer first and musician second. And there's nothing wrong with that. The dancing, as you've said earlier, influences the music.
I feel like maybe we don't give the dancers enough credit. Like, the people that did the choreo at the Super Bowl. My gosh.
Real.
Like, the choreographers, the dancers, they're never the front and center. They're never collecting the royalties, but it is a big part of what makes a hit a hit.
Right. And I also think, like, pop music needs people like Paula. We need a pop music B team. You know, pop music at its core is formulaic. It's derivative. And if everyone was Madonna all the time, the genre would be unsustainable. Nobody could keep up.
So you're getting into like a bigger theory of how pop music works. Like, you've got your superstars who are the innovators, who are your A team, and then your B team are the regurgitators that maintain a sound for some period of time, might get huge themselves, and give DJs like yourself, DJ Costanza, the opportunity to spin multiple records that all fit together.
Exactly.
All right, let's hear it for the B team.
Let's hear it for the B team. I'm not saying Pussycat Dolls is like pushing any boundaries, you know, but when I'm at the club, like, I want to hear Buttons. I want to hear I Hate This Part, you know, like shit like that. It rocks. And I also think because she's a dancer, Tate McRae in a way raises the bar for everybody else, you know, because it's catchy music and no longer should middling pop stars feel comfortable just standing on stage. Tate McRae makes them dance. We want choreography. We want showmanship, choreo. Mm. And sometimes I also think it's okay to give into the nostalgia cycle. I would like to be reminded of songs I already like. It's why I like them. I want to hear them all the time. It's why people do interpolations.
So what you're saying is that in this larger analysis, we're getting closer to answering the question, so close to what?
And that what is the it factor that makes Tate McRae special. And I think we've gotten closer to cracking the nut of learning to love Tate McRae than personally I have ever been before.
Let's see if I can spin it around.
Mm.
Universal, easily singable vocals.
Mm-hmm.
You got hooks everywhere.
True.
No shortage of hooks. And you've got a Las Vegas buffet dinner of every kind of sound you could possibly want, something for everyone in the production.
I like the reframing, Charlie. It positions Tate McRae as perhaps the pop star that we didn't expect. Maybe not the pop star we necessarily thought we needed, but
the pop star we deserve.
Exactly. Tate McRae is the pop star that we deserve. And at the end of the day, I can't hate on that. Maybe I've learned to love Tate McRae.
Switched On Pop is produced by Rihanna Cruz, edited by Art Chung, engineered by Brand McFarlane, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb. Our theme music is by Zach Tenario and Jossie Adams of Arc Iris. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network, a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod.
You can find us on all social media at Switched On Pop. Subscribe to our newsletter, where we'll be giving you hot goss in the pop musicosphere. Right now, we're running a bingo all year, pop prediction bingo, so get your card through our newsletter, and we'll be back again on Tuesday with a brand new episode.
Until then,
thanks for listening.